Hello and welcome to the Currency Exchange, where myself, Imra Daly, and NatWest teams of FX strategists help to break down the major themes and events driving currency markets this week and in the weeks ahead. Today, I'm joined by Alvaro Bakanko, who is our head of emerging market strategy. Alvaro, you have been counter consensus and have taken a bearish emerging market view over the last few weeks. What are kind of the rationale really underpinning your counter consensus goal?
Hi, Imer. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Yeah, we thought that this will be a good time to update you a little bit on this view that we have had really for the past month, becoming quite bearish on especially the high carry, high beta emerging market currencies, which was basically a big shift from our more bullish stance that we had for the first half of this year. And basically, right at the end of the story, the reason why we are more negative is that over the last few weeks, EM central bankers have been more confident about cutting rates. So they did a great job hiking rates throughout the big inflationary period. Inflation in EM has come down significantly across countries, and we still think that there is more downward pressure on inflation, especially year on year for the vast majority of countries. And we can come back to sort of what's driving that. But what we really think still is that given the fact that emerging market central banks are definitely not going to hike rates, and some of them have already started to cut rates, the carry to volatility of these countries has definitely peaked. And we have seen this across a lot of markets, you know, essentially over the last few weeks. So in that environment, right, in an environment which is still driven by the search for carry, we think that EM still has some pressure to be felt over the next couple of months, because we think that it's a transition period, right? It's a time in which the Fed perhaps is going to hike one more time. We don't know. But for sure, the rest of the world, right, and especially emerging markets, are very, very unlikely to hike rates. So no matter what, the carry differential is decreasing. And then the second point, which is a little bit more difficult to quantify, which you kind of alluded to, is that it's our assessment that a lot of the market has been and is still long emerging market currencies, especially the ones with high carry that they have been chasing really for the past, you know, 12 to 18 months. And in our conversations, we had a lot of pushback, with the rationale being that the carry in nominal terms and in some cases real terms is still very high for EM. So everybody, for the most part, seems comfortable still holding to emerging markets. We are not bearish, you know, in terms of fundamentals. It's not like, you know, we're giving up on emerging markets as an asset class. We just think that we are in a period of repricing of currencies. And we think that thematically, that has just started, right? So we have been bearish things like Chile to start with, Brazil. You yourself have been more on the bearish side for South Africa, for Chad. Some of those have already moved, but we think that is still quite a bit more pain over the next couple of months.
In terms of kind of, you know, we've seen rates market really pricing quite aggressive easing cycles for the central bank. Where do you think really has the potential to really surprise and actually ease actually more than markets are expecting?
Yeah, and that's a very, very important point, right? Because we now see the places that have really high real rates, policy rates, as kind of a vulnerability, because those are the places where the central bank has more room to cut, as opposed to a positive for the currency, which was the case for the beginning of the year, right? So let me take the example of Mexico, which we actually have the meeting this week, but the central bank has been very, very hawkish, right? Kind of following the Fed, following core inflation, kind of unwilling to see the softness in the domestic economy as a reason to eventually start moderating the stance. And as a result of that, real policy rates are very, very high compared to the rest of the world, and very high compared to where Mexico has traditionally been. For me, that means that at some point, and Mexico is probably, you know, towards the latter part of this process, but at some point, they will have to cut, and they will have to cut quite aggressively. And that's what we're seeing in the market. The market is pricing in quite a bit of cuts over the next 2 years. We think that some central banks will be able and already, you know, have been able to anticipate those and do some of the easing now. You know, cases of Chile, the cases of Poland have been kind of the more aggressive ones, that once they get going, they are willing to take a little bit of the risk and cut a little bit more than the market was anticipating. And they're okay with some currency weakness, right, which should come with the territory. And that's also kind of a point of debate that we have had with a lot of people over the last couple of days. It is like, you know, at which point the central banks become a little bit more cautious about the easing cycle. And the way we see it is these currencies are still quite rich, right? There has been a pretty strong rally leading to where we are now, that central banks, I think, are analyzing more in terms of macro risk and the balance between keeping conditions too tight for too long. And that's where we're seeing kind of this repricing of EM.
Yeah, I think, you know, Poland is kind of the interesting one because it kind of started its easing cycle, all guns blazing. It did 75 basis points, always came out and we're like, you know, we don't really care about the currency. And, you know, and they subsequently had to retrace the little branch and kind of admit their mistake. You know, it's a completely different world to 2022 when really they had to, some central banks had to hike aggressively to really stable a currency crisis. But now as inflation comes down, it's not really kind of the main or as big a driver of central bank policy. I know in kind of LATAM, you saw extreme valuations for some of your currencies.
Yeah, and I think the kind of the point that we've been trying to make is that all central banks globally are a little bit lost. Like we are all lost about how much should they ease, who should go first, where is the neutral rates at the end of this. And what they are telling you, right, from the Fed across the board, is that they're looking at the data, right? And that's what gives us a little bit more confidence, is that what we've seen in terms of inflation data from like the big picture is that there's still a lot of disinflation of energy and food and fertilizer prices at the EM level that is still making its way through the individual countries, right? And some countries are more correlated to those indicators, but for all of them, there's a little bit of a lag, 3-5 months, and we are in the process of that. So what has been very interesting is that for the past few months, pretty much for all countries, right, almost all prints month to month have surprised to the downside. So we think that against this, at the end of the day, yes, some countries may be a little bit more careful about how they present the easing cycles. They don't want markets to really launch on that and can really push them too much. But inflation is going the right way, which is kind of a good thing for emerging markets. Right? We wanted the you know, macroeconomic policy worked, and they hiked and conditions have adjusted, and now they have the potential to ease. So that's why we have remained bearish, you know, for most of the currencies that we cover. Asia is a little bit different just because the correlation to U.S. rates is actually higher, but there's not the carry component. So probably the positioning is a little bit cleaner, but also in some cases like Thailand, we still think that there will be more pressure just because of the fundamental story.
And as you're saying, kind of the positive momentum we've had with disinflation in the EM, that definitely contrasts with some of the stories in emerging markets. And obviously that translates into the Fed outlook where it just looks like inflation is a little bit stickier.
Right. It's kind of exactly that mismatch, right? Like there's enough uncertainties in the US to keep us guessing about what the Fed will do. Kevin, by the way, thinks that they're done, but it's just like the market, just like over the last couple of days, right? US rates continue to be under pressure just because of the uncertainty. And that's the other component of our call, right? Is that volatility has started to pick up, but it's still very, very low. And obviously it's hard to forecast what the source of, you know, higher volatility globally will be, but we've seen this in past episodes, carry is decreasing and you have a shock to volatility, some of this positioning gets shocked, and that's where you have, you know, not a panic or anything like that, but just people getting out of relatively crowded positions. So that's the view. Before we go, I do want to ask you about South Africa, because you put out a very interesting, more medium-term piece about the election. So I really wanted to get your take on that.
Yes, I am looking very far ahead to the election in 2024 and really just trying to flag this because it really could be a key event for South Africa. So it's the first time since the end of apartheid, it looks like the ruling ANC party could actually lose their outright majority. And just kind of the race of who they actually form, who forms a coalition government, are at the opposite ends of the spectrum. So at one, you know, side, you could have the ANC actually form an alliance with the EECC, the Economic Freedom Fighters, which are very left-wing. They're, you know, campaigning to nationalize the banking, the mining sector. They support closer ties with China. And then the other side, if you get the main opposition, Democratic Alliance, coming to power, they're much more business-friendly. They want to privatize the energy sector, bring in outside investment, and really reduce the role and the scope of the government. So, you know, there are very big risks, both on the positive and the negative, going into this for South African assets. So it's probably a little bit too early to tell the final outcome at this stage. That's certainly something we want to have in front of an investor's mindset at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. We also have Mexican inflation elections next year, and it's something that is not in the radar, right? That people have assumed very low policy risk in emerging markets because, you know, they've done a pretty decent job for the last couple of years in terms of managing the fiscal, but there are definitely places where volatility comes.
Especially because it's just been at such suppressed levels for so long. This should be an interesting year ahead. Guys, that is probably about all we have time for this week. Alvaro, thank you so much for joining me. And do remember to like the podcast and also to subscribe so you get the latest episode first.